You know what Isaiah 40:29 says? It says, he gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Boy, has that verse been encouraging to me. Have you ever been kind of wiped out? Anybody ever been kind of down? He knows how to redeem our lives from the pit. In the next few moments, I want to talk to you about the real secret in the life of Gideon, actually in the life of Moses and David and everybody, the common denominator that really brought people through. God is just so faithful. And I want you to go right now to the book of Judges, chapter 6. And we're going to spend a few moments studying this out about God's faithfulness toward Gideon and how out of weakness he was made strong. It says in Hebrews 11 that out of weakness they were made strong. Paul the Apostle said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. He said, I'd rather boast in my weakness, boast in my deficiency so that God's sufficiency could come in. Listen, anybody who's been around a while realizes as a Christian that the biggest, largest, and best measure in life is when God shows up on a situation. Students know this. Parents know this. Business people know this. The honest, sincere business leaders that I've talked to recognized a long time ago, man, I need God. God coming in on the scene, this is what God created all of humanity for. Listen, we're not just some religious people that had a predisposition to become religious. We were people created in God's image and to serve Him and know Him. The only way life is going to be on track is as we draw near to Him, that He might draw near to us. And that, in fact, the psalmist said, the nearness of God is my good. He said, I've set the Lord continually before me. Because He is at my right hand, I will not be moved. How many of you parents understand the value of having the Lord with you through those complex issues, especially as your children start to assume responsibility and move up into those upper years where their independence and their self-will is exerted and it may not be going the way you had hoped, and yet you've got to trust God and you've got to invite God in there. You look at the prodigal son and you look at his father and you think, God, give me a piece of that. Give me some of that kind of confidence that he had to release and trust that you are going to do a work and turn that kid's heart around. Man, God is faithful. Or people that were treated in an evil way at work and people turned on you and it looked for a time like they were going to take your credit and they were going to eclipse you and they were going to put you in a corner, and yet you understood, hey, God is my vindication. God is my defense. I'm going to trust God. I'm not going to just cover this myself and push my own thing. I'm going to invite God in on this thing. I'm going to leave room for the wrath of God. I'm not going to take vengeance for myself. I'm going to trust God to sort this thing out. I got to pray because I want to get this right for you today. Father, thank you that we're gathered together in your name to draw near to you, that you might draw near to us. In fact, we know you initiated this whole thing. We know you created us for your purposes. And I pray, Father, as we walk with you and as we absorb your word today, I pray you'd use me to minister effectively by the leadership of your Holy Spirit. God, take me as a clay earthen vessel with the treasure that you put inside. And I pray it would come out with efficiency and clarity. I pray you'd use me as a preacher to proclaim truths that will bring impartation and strength, revelation and encouragement, and bring conviction and correction and balance so that we can all live fervently on track, filled with the Holy Spirit, and making the impact you've called us to make. In Jesus' name, amen. Judges chapter 6. We've been talking for a few weeks about strength. We talked a few weeks ago about David strengthened himself in the Lord when he hit a hard place. And we look here in Gideon's life. Gideon was a man. He was a wheat farmer that was threshing wheat in a wine press because the Midianites and the Amalekites were battling and stealing from the people of Israel. Why? Because Israel had done evil in the sight of the Lord. And in this case, they opened up a door to the enemy and they were oppressed in a place for over 6-7 years. And they reached a point in verse 6 where they were brought very low because of Midian. The enemy had worn them slick, and the sons of Israel cried to the Lord. Repentance is such a gift. They finally, as a last resort, said, oh God, help us. And there must have been some repentance and surrender. And immediately, God sent a prophet to the sons of Israel who brought word to them. And the first word was, I am the Lord who brought you up from Egypt and brought you out from the house of slavery. God keeps bringing us up and out. God wants to bring you up and out. He still brings people up and out. In fact, he's very good at it. He's very good at it. He said, why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. He is the glory and the lifter of our heads. And even though they were oppressed because of their sin, if you notice, the first thing the messenger of the Lord said was, hey, I'm the guy that brought you out. I'm the one that brought you in, and I'm the one that set you free. In fact, I caused you to even possess the land, and I gave you the land. And then he says, I'm the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live, but you have not obeyed me. So he spends a lot of time reinforcing the faithfulness and the history of God's goodness. And then he says, come on up now, I'm calling you into a new place. The angel of the Lord came in verse 11 and visited Gideon. He was beating out wheat in the winepress to protect it and save it from the Midianites. And the Lord spoke to him. The angel of the Lord said, the Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. This verse is what I want to talk to you about. This idea of the Lord being with us. Because right after he says, the Lord is with you, he says, hey, if God really loved us, how come he let all this happen? And if God's really with us, where are all the miracles that took place in the past? And so you see immediately as this messenger is telling him and visiting him and ministering to him, there's all this negating unbelief and doubt. Gideon is not exactly a man of faith and power here. He is a guy that is in a complex mode of frustration, depression, and trouble. He's pretty upset. And he's not that excited. Now, this is an interesting thing here. This is called a theophany. This is like when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the furnace and the fourth man appeared in the furnace where Nebuchadnezzar said, I thought we threw three men in the fire. And then there was another one like the Son of Man in there. This is where God shows up. This is when God came into the scene. God came into the scene here and Gideon is having an interaction. He's talking to the Lord. And the Lord is saying, oh, I'm with you, O valiant warrior. And he goes, hey, if God really loved us, how come all this crummy stuff has happened? Isn't that cool? Aren't you glad that's in the Bible? Isn't that a reality? I can relate to this. Because here God is coming in and he's going, if God really loved me, and he's having to wrestle with this unbelief. But the main tool, the main truth God uses to address that stagnancy, that lethargy, that dullness, that short circuitry that's hindered the flow is with the Lord is with you. We remember when Isaiah prophesied, he said his name will be Emmanuel, God with us. The miracle of Jesus is that it's God in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Jesus, in fact, is divine. This is a wonderful thing about Jesus. This is where cults, one of the main points of cults, is they demean the deity of Christ. See, Jesus, in fact, is God with us, God incarnate. Jesus showing up assures us of certain victory. Wherever he shows up, things change. See, what did God say to Moses? Moses said, what do I do? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? And in Exodus 3, God calls him and he says, who am I? What can I do? Who shall I say? And God said, certainly I will be with you. And I know that as he said it with Moses and then as he said it with Gideon, it's even more clear in this new covenant. This new situation we have with Jesus having been on the earth and God visiting this planet, you guys, we are blessed. This is why I preach Jesus, because I don't just believe somebody came to establish a beautiful world religion with all the great tradition and all the amazing ethics and wonderful boundaries and parameters. Jesus, in fact, is God in the flesh who came to destroy the work of the devil, to save lost people. He became sin for us as a substitute so that if we call upon him and trust in him and step down off the throne of our life and let him take over, a supernatural thing takes place by the power of the Holy Spirit where we become born anew and we become spiritually alive with God and we get caught up in his great purposes and then we have fellowship with the Father and with his Son Jesus that we can walk in the Spirit. I am very excited about this. This is what drives me past all the troubles. This is what excites me when things don't look exciting. This is the one common denominator of life that when everything else is crummy, at least God is God and always will be God. And even if my circumstances don't line up, Dave, God, if you really love me, how come we're in this situation? You know, when our flood hit, you know, that's one of the first voices that came to me. Some lady said, well, obviously God didn't guide them. They weren't led by the Holy Spirit, and God does not love them. I heard this devil was faithful to get that information to me while I was traumatized by the shock of 18 square miles being ruined and 5,000 jobs being busted out in a day and families losing businesses and homes being destroyed and everything displaced. Then I hear that message. But you know what? When the enemy came in like a flood, God came in even greater. That what the enemy meant for harm, God turned around for good. It's an emphatic, age-old truth that God works everything after the counsel of his will. When you're a God follower and you're a Jesus person, you have an assurance. You look in the scriptures. Even David said, even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, hey, I fear no evil. Why? Because he was Superman? Why? Because he was immortal? He was like Zeus or something? No, he was a man. But he said, because thou art with me. Say it in your best Shakespearean voice. Thou art with me. You guys, that kicks right there. There's something mighty powerful about God walking with you. Listen, I was paranoid as a kid about death. I mean, I was sensitive to it, man. I was young. When I was in the third grade, my parents got called by the teachers and they had a conference. They were concerned about me because I had to write a poem. And my poem was, my name is Jeff Perry. I was born and I'm in the process of dying. I had a morbid fixation on it. And they were, and I thought I was just writing a poem. You know, I was like, I was just wrote this poem. They said it had to be two lines. So I said, my name is Jeff Perry and I was born and I'm in the process of dying. I did three lines. I thought I'd get extra points. Other people are writing a flower a day and the song in the sunshine. And that, you know, they're like this sing-songy and cute and happy and they have the pigtails. And, you know, they're like, and I'm like Edgar Allan Poe or something, you know. And I just sat there in class and my mom and dad came in and they were like talking about me and looking. And the counselors were there and looking. And it's like, I don't know. It's just kind of concerning me, you know. I had the fear of death. And it's interesting that when I got saved, without any effort on my part and without anybody addressing it specifically, I got free from the slavery that comes with the fear of death. I had the assurance presented to me in Christ that even when I die, I'll live. He's the resurrection and the life. I had embraced somebody. I had encountered someone that had resolved the big fatality system of death. Life conquered death. And I'm telling you, the Bible says this, and it gives me goosebumps to say it. Since that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he'll give life to your mortal body. So I hear a testimony about a man and that overcoming and in his finances and that kind of thing. It's not a cute little pre-offering stimuli. It's actually the resurrection power of God coming in a practical area of his life. Hey, I need that in my child rearing. I need that in my marriage. I need that in my finances. I need that with my body. I need God, or I'm in trouble. You need God, and guess what? He's available. This is the message of Christianity. Whosoever will believe and trust in and rely on him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. You say, well, this is an evangelistic message all of a sudden, and I'm already saved. It's the saving power of God, in the case of Gideon, to help them to overcome their enemy. And if you read this fantastic story, you're going to see how God roused an insecure, dysfunctional man who felt like he had to use the excuse that he was the least in his father's house and there the family is the least in Manasseh. He got in this, he looked at his pedigree and it wasn't so cool. He looked at himself and he felt like he was weak. I mean, even Abraham looked at his own body. When God called him to be a father of many nations, he looked at Sarah, who was well past childbearing. And yet, with respect to the promise of God, they kept their eyes on the invisible and yet real God. And let me just say this. Let's reinforce it. Let's keep it real. He had a visitation from the Lord that's pretty breathtaking. It's like a burning bush that Moses had, or Daniel sitting and seeing the lion's mouths quieted and stilled. Those are really cool things. But God, in this new covenant, we walk by faith and not by sight. So God requires even a deeper system of commitment where we trust Him and fix our hope on the invisible and yet living God, and we invite Him in and we trust Him for His mysterious visitation to come, for His word to authentically come to pass, for our prayers to be heard and answered, for the power that comes from believers believing and actually trusting God's word. We're trusting God for harvest for our generation. We're trusting God for a resource to address human need. We're trusting God to move the kingdom of God forward, where hundreds of millions of people come to Christ in our lifetime. We're believing God for a revival and for harvest. We're believing God for people to live out their days. We're believing God for our kids not to become cynical and pessimistic, to buy into the superficiality of the world and forfeit their birthright and go off into sin. I don't want post-Christian Christianity in America. I don't want a decline. I want to see harvest. Nor do I want to see hyperactive religiosity. I want to see the real, legitimate move of the kingdom of God touch people where it's undeniably Him. I want to live a life that's so sincere and real, I want people to see Jesus in my life. Like Peter and John, they said, we can tell they're unlearned men, but we can tell they've been with Jesus. And that's really the touch and the mark that started to take place in this hard guy's life. Gideon was troubled, but God kept overriding his unbelief by saying, the Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. And then he even says this. He says, I'm the least in my father's house. And the Lord looked at him and said, go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? There's something powerful about God's presence. There's something powerful when you know you're sent. That'll strengthen you even when it's not comfortable and the transition is awkward and it's a difficult season and it's a cold period. You sense, you go back and you trace it. God brought me here. God's put me in this situation. God is leading me by His Holy Spirit. I'm going to hunker down and trust Him, and He's going to bring it to pass. Gideon was standing there arguing with God, and the Lord said, go in this your strength. What was his strength? Obviously, it wasn't the strength of having read a bunch of leadership how-to books and being really skilled. This guy's standing there like the painting, the American Gothic, you know, without the lady, you know, just sort of standing there miserable. You know what I mean? You know those pictures of those farmers look like that? And Gideon, look, that's what Gideon looks like to me. Gideon's not like a headband guy with Disney hair standing there flexing. Gideon is like, dude, where's my car? Kind of a guy, you know? He's like, what? Hey, but I want to talk to you, man. Since I'm having a visitation of God that's biblical and incredible, it's going to make it in the Bible and be preached all over the place. And a whole Bible passing out group is going to name their name after me. I want to ask you this. Where's God been in my life? Boy, I've felt that a million times. But it's good news that I'm not called to walk by how I feel. If I walk by how I feel, I'd be troubled. But God's called me to walk by faith, which is a different requirement. And faith is stimulated by turning to the Word of God and seeing the faithfulness of God in the lives of our predecessors. David strengthened himself in the Lord and he recovered all. God is faithful. How many of you have seen unsaved family members come to the Lord? Let me see your hands. How many of you have more you're believing God for? Well, keep holding out. Keep holding out. God has big plans, just like He did with these guys. There were thousands of people, and God had to sift through the ones. First, all of them that were seized with fear, He had to move them out of the way, and He rendered them down to a group of people that just had radical. Hey, man, I don't know how God's going to do it, but I want a front row, 50-yard line seat to see how He does this. And God brings them down to a little ragamuffin group of 300 to confront 30,000 or something, 300,000 crazy outstanding odds. And if you read the story, it's fabulous. It's awesome. They won the battles. Let me read some verses to you. I'm excited about this, in case you can't tell. Look at somebody next to you and say, the Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. Go in this your strength. And then he said in verse 16, but the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you. Quick verses. You ready to hear this? Don't need to turn to him. Just keep your eyes up. Listen to this. Here's what he said in Genesis 28. I am with you, and I'm going to watch over you wherever you go, and I'll bring you back to this land, and I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Exodus 33:14. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. You know, in His presence, there's peace. It's like Peter. He's getting ready to step out of the boat. And if you've ever been out in stormy seas, I went with my brother fishing with my dad, and man, he got seasick. And the ocean, the waves were like, what were they at this point in the story? at this point in history. They were like 10 feet. They were like, and just when you got your stomach, all of a sudden it would go, and you'd have like zero gravity. And like, you'd try to drink some Tang and it would just be floating, you know. And then you go land back down. And he got all green and pale and he's hugging the trash can. And here's Peter in the middle of a deal and he steps out of a boat. And the reason he stepped out of the boat was because, if that's you, Lord, bid me come. It's amazing. When God's on a thing, an assurance is built into it that the supernatural can and will occur. Yeah. And when we know God is with us, it puts us at high advantage. And when we understand that in the practicalities, that in the case of Gideon, he said, I'm with you and I'm going to deliver you out of the hand of the Midianites. Now, we don't deal with Midianites. We deal with other things. So that's where it becomes a principle and it becomes an application to us, is I'm not battling Midianites. I'm battling other things, thought with my thought life and in circumstances. I could readily take the principles and the patterns that took place there, and it has great practical application in these fundamental areas of my life, my outlook, my attitude, my devotional life. When I realize God is with me, it propels me out of unbelief. It propels me out of carnality. It starts pulling me up out of self-centeredness. Conviction comes. Repentance comes. Man, I'm thankful for that. It's His kindness that leads us to change. And so here, he's having to repent from being seized by unbelief. And God, this is a pattern where God is breaking people out of a gridlock of oppression. And in their case, they brought it on themselves by doing evil on the side of the Lord. In the story in 1 Samuel 30 about David, he actually was doing the right thing and he just elicited an attack. So in any case, God is a deliverer. Say that. God is a deliverer. And He knows how to deliver us. Listen to this. Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned and the flames will not set you ablaze. Listen. Peter stepped out and he walked on water as he was keeping his eyes on the Lord. And then he started to look at the circumstances. And then, of course, we know he started to sink. So we rise and fall based on what I'm trying to tell you here. This is why the first thing that had to happen in Gideon's life was he had to have his heart and mind affixed on the fact that God was present. And he didn't just say it once. He said it a couple of times. He said, I am with you to deliver you. I am with you, O valiant warrior. I'm here for you. And that had to be the first point of awareness in order that the next steps could be taken. When we know God's on a thing, we know it's biblical, we know we prayed about it, we know it's something that's right, we know God is giving us direction, it gives us an amazing level of security that even though it just still doesn't look like anything's good or right, we know we at least have God on this thing. God is with us. David even said, if I make my bed in hell, you're there. You know, he said he's walking through the valley of the shadow of death, God's with him. He said He'd never leave us nor forsake us in Hebrews chapter 13. And in Matthew 28, He said, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. You guys, He said He'd never leave us or forsake us. Come on. Even with these guys who had done evil in the sight of the Lord and repelled God's presence, God just desired to connect with him. He longed to reinforce and connect in that fellowship. You know, God is more interested in fellowshipping with us than any human being, no matter how spiritual, has ever wanted to fellowship with Him. God has this orientation in every cell and every aspect of His being. God, in fact, designed us for connection and for fellowship. And God gets a kick out of blessing His people. He delights in the prosperity of His people. He loves to manifest His blessings and pour forth His Spirit on people. He loves to deliver. He's mighty to deliver. He comforts us in trials. I mean, yeah, we did have the flood, and in the waters, we did pass through them. Patsy came in this building in a boat with my dad. They came through in a boat. I stayed outside. I said, I don't even want to look in there. I don't even want to see it. I was such a baby. She's going, I'm going to go in there and see it. How often am I going to get to ride in the inside of the sanctuary in a boat? I like that attitude. I like that radical woman. When I prayed for a wife, I prayed I'd have a Daniel Boone type of wife. And Bob's sister's like a, she could, yeah. Carry kids, firewood, Bible, pray. Praise God. That's my girl. Yeah, you know her, man. She's awesome. She's awesome. I like this dentist. He goes, pray for our finances. And the wife goes, you got it. And she prayed, man. Mountains moved. God is good. Listen, God is good. Matthew 18, 20 says, where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. Let me tell you something about walking with God. Walking with God takes your natural life and turns it into something supernatural. Walking with God takes your regular life and makes it extraordinary through your lifespan. Listen to this story in England. Walking with the great, a young man with a few friends, just started out in a career in business on the London Stock Exchange, just over 100 years ago. And he found the beginning of his work very difficult, and the task was uphill. So one day he obtained an introduction to Lord Rothschild, who was a very prominent financier, very influential. And he says, hey, if in any way you can use your influence on my behalf, I shall esteem it a great favor. Charmed with the young man's manner, Lord Rothschild said, let's go for a little walk. As they walked the full length of the stock exchange, they put on their coats and went out the street. The great financier encouraged the young man to open his heart to him, so they had this conversation and went all the way down the street and came back in front of all the windows of all the offices of all the other workers and all the other businesses. The return journey was made in the same fashion, and when they were parting, the young man said, I know you'll help me all you can. And Rothschild replied, hey, I've already done that. The guy was kind of inquisitive. He said, unless I am much mistaken, our walk together will bring you as much business as you can manage. And so it proved true. The old members of the stock exchange, while they were walking up and down the street, saw the two engaged in close conversation as they walked together. That young man is an up-and-comer, they said to each other. See how Lord Rothschild has taken to him. His success was assured from that hour. The Christian success is assured too, for he can truly say, I walk and talk with a king. That king, in the case of Gideon, was the Lord coming in and saying, I am with you. In our case as believers, Jesus comes in. You can ask any little kid in church, where does Jesus live? He lives in my heart. It says in the book of Revelation, he knocks on the door, and if any man opens the door, he'll come in and he'll fellowship with him. You guys, the nearness of God is our good. The best thing we have today, and I dare say the best thing, and I even say this example pales. Lord Rothschild, finance, business, put it aside. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. Who can wash away our sins except Jesus? He's the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Who, in fact, can take care of the deep issues preventing us from going to hell and giving us a place in the presence of the Lord forever? Can he not also take care of the other fundamental issues of our lives? In fact, this inspires me as a pastor because my faith gets surged forward because I read that Jesus is the head of the church. He said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. He said, I'll build the church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That inspires me not only as a pastor, but just in my Christian life. As a believer, I have confidence that no matter what, the kingdom of God is going to rise and thrive because his kingdom shall see no end. Yeah. His throne is forever and ever. He's coming back with such to a glorious church, full of faith, full of cooperation. It's our turn now. Gideon came and went. God used him to battle the enemy, and you could read the story later on. He won the battle. Even Samson, who failed deplorably, at least in his last breath, had a moment where he realized. He cried out and said, God, would you use me? And God touched his life. And in his latter days, God restored some of his power and he pushed back the evil and threw out the idolatry that was present in that place. It's exciting, man. God is wanting to give fuel to our purposes. He's wanting to restore some people to second chance. If you do it, you're doing great and you've taken hits for it, like David, learn how to strengthen yourself in the Lord. If you've fallen and been laid low because of your own failing and your own sin, repent, change, turn from it, cry out to the Lord, and watch how God shows up. Boom! God's not petty like people are. He's not going, I don't want to talk to you. He comes in, he responds to true repentance. He responds to real prayer. And you say, man, I feel like I'm between a rock and a hard place. What do I do? Listen, draw from the fact that he's present. This is the favorite thing. Walking around realizing God is with me. You carry him into your work. Start your day acknowledging Him. You'll have a much better day. You won't have to play catch up if you start your day with Him. Spend time in prayer. Turn off your radio. Talk to God. You having trouble at work? Talk to God about it. Bless your enemies. Believe God for Him to have His final say. You see the world fractured and falling apart. It's our finest hour. Marriage blowout and all the tragedy. Listen, pop culture is diseased. It needs the believers to rise up and be the real deal. You know, the world paints this as a caricature and a cartoon, but no, man, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Don't let the enemy demean you in this hour. You know, we became as grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. That's what happened to the spies in Numbers chapter 13. I'm sure that's what happened with Gideon. Hey, if God really loved us, how come all this has happened? He needed to have that sense in his spirit that God's presence was there because they had resisted him for 7 years. But God immediately came back in. The first thing he had to restore was that deep fellowship. If you're not a Christian, you don't need your fellowship restored. You need to get fellowship started. And Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart. He wants to come in. You say, well, I believed in Jesus. But you know in your heart whether you're saved or not. And he will bring an awareness to you and grant you repentance and draw you into his kingdom. Those of us who have been in the kingdom and we've grown callous or we've grown cold, maybe we've been so discouraged that depression has been the dominant theme of our life. Hey, he's near the depressed. He knows how to comfort the depressed. And this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all of his troubles. He's faithful. Has anybody ever been delivered out of a dark place in here? Let me see your hands. Absolutely. Let's all stand to our feet, and we're going to pray. If you're passing through the waters, he's going to be with you. You pass through the rivers, they'll not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. God is good. How do you think? I think it was cool when Lord Rothschild walked with that young stockbroker. Don't you? Don't you think that was smart of him? He didn't have to go and drop a lot of names. He just had already had a presence about him, and he just walked through the in front of the windows. You're walking, see, you're walking with God. You're walking with a king through this life. It says in Romans 5:17 that we reign as kings in this life. We have something that God has given us that's important for us to do. And like with Gideon, the Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. Some of you don't feel like a valiant warrior, do you? Gideon didn't. Like David said, what time I am afraid, I'll trust in him. Sometimes we just need to do things afraid. It's one of the things I'm proud about Patsy. She did some things in action and obedience to the calling during a very non-ideal time. If she had yielded to her emotions, she wouldn't have done a thing. She would have just sat and sulked, which is what she was tempted to do because of the traumatic circumstances around her. But what she learned about faith was faith without corresponding actions is dead, just like the body without the spirit is a dead thing. So faith without works is dead. So she realized she needed to take action and not wait around for her feelings to all line up. So she started to initiate things, even though there was trouble all around. And now the fruit is starting to come out of it. And it's inspiring to me because she didn't wait around for an ideal circumstance. This wasn't ideal with Gideon. He's not standing there with a bunch of weaponry. He's standing there going, well, if God really, he's full of unbelief. And yet God prompts him to go and win a big battle. Yeah. Remember when they told Sarah, we're going to have a baby, and she laughed? So they named Isaac to laugh. Isaac's name means ha. It's like, God, you crack me up. Some of the greatest manifestations of God are going to evoke laughter out of you because it's going to be like, that was God. And that, in fact, is going to be the hallmark of the upcoming days of our Christian life. The best fruit is going to be born where we're going to go, man, that wasn't an ideal circumstance. I don't feel like the ideal candidate. It didn't look like the timing was exactly perfection. And yet God did it anyway. We give, and so for eternity, we go, God, that was awesome. He's going to, I know. God, you were fantastic. I know. God, that shouldn't have worked out that way, but it's because you're God. And he goes, I know, I am God. And he's welcome into the abode of the righteous. And we're going to go, we like it here. And he'll say, I'm glad you're here. And we'll look at Jesus and go, it's because of you. And they'll go, no problem. And then we'll see the Holy Spirit and go, whoa, Holy Spirit. And we'll see each other and we'll go, man, I should have said amen more during that sermon. Now, I don't care if you say amen in here. I want there to be an amen that comes up that's real, that carries you through the week, where it's a so be it. Listen, you may be going through it right now, but hey, the Lord is with you. O valiant warrior, applied to a guy there who was grumpy and funky. How about you and I just kind of lifting up our hearts to God and saying, Lord, could you take the remainder of my days and translate something profitable and beneficial through them? God, I'm going to trust you in this. I'm going to believe you for some amazing, radical, world-changing things. God's looking for people like you to do that. God's looking for churches like this to take hold of his promises. We got a big job to do. We've got a big, big series of things coming up as a congregation. Enjoy the little break time. Enjoy the little lull, because we're moving into something. And we're going to have harvest responsibility. We're going to have commitment, travel. God's going to be calling us all hands on deck. So we might as well, on an individual basis, learn to shake off the heaviness, get bold about it, and trust God. I mean, I've lapsed in so much whining and so much unbelief over time, and I'm ashamed of it, but yet God's been so patient with me. Has God been patient with you? Thank you, Jesus, for his mercy. He'll inspire your faith. He's been fanning the flames in my heart lately, and I'm excited about it. I want to thank anybody who's ever prayed for me. Thank you for praying for me, because I need it. And I'm telling you, I'm praying more for you, and I'm believing God for great progress in your life. I'm believing God for authentic change in the areas you're believing God for, even where you haven't even been believing God for a while. Well, he's the glory and the lifter of our heads. And I pray that God will strengthen you as he's been helping me. Close your eyes with me. Father, thank you that you are looking at us like we're valiant warriors. You see us differently than we see ourselves. I've had a lot of people say a lot of things to me, but what you say to me is the most important. I've had people say compliments, and I've had people say put downs. But I look at your word, and it's a corrector. It shores me up where I'm wrong. It strengthens me and brings hope and encouragement to me. You give power to the faint, and to the him that has no strength, you increase strength. God, I thank you that you're the Lord, and you will strengthen us. You'll help us. You'll uphold us with your right hand of your righteousness. Say this with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, Paul said of one church, he said, I'm confident of this very thing. He that's begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Christ. God, it says in Philippians 2:13, is at work in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Look up here for a second. God's at work in you. How many of you have asked Jesus to come into your heart? How many of you sometimes feel like, whoa, I got goosebumps. I can tell God's presence is in my life. How many of you notice that doesn't happen very often? It's because we walk by faith and not by sight. God doesn't want us to be addicted to giddy, superficial feelings. He wants us to be people of faith. And I'll tell you what, man, some of you are at a higher advantage than you even realize right now, because you're in the fight of faith. You're forging ahead. You're dealing with your emotions. You're dealing with circumstances. You're plowing through a dark place. And God is with us in even the valley of the shadow of death. He said if we made our bed in hell, he'd be there. He's not leaving you. He's not forsaking you. You say, well, I think I've sinned like the Israel did. Then repent. Ask God to forgive you. Deal with it seriously. Humble yourself before God. Let the conviction of the Holy Spirit just deal with your heart and turn from the sin and ask him to come in and just move you back into a place of real consistency. Trying to look for a place to stop here. I'll finish with this. Moses said to God, who am I? Don't we all feel that way? Who am I to do this? Who am I? And Paul said, who's sufficient for these things? That I should go to the Pharaoh, that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt. And he said, certainly I will be with you. If you're not a Christian, give your heart to Jesus today. How do you do that? Ask him to come into your life. Surrender to him. Yield to him. Say, Jesus, be my Lord. Truly humble yourself. Truly repent. Truly dedicate your life to the Lord. Do it today. Do it today. I talk to a lot of people that they do that and the Holy Spirit comes on them and changes them into another person. That's what he wants to do for you. Amen? God bless you. Have a good day. See you later. Yeah.